Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Yeah. Father, we are so thankful today that we can come broken, wounded, just as we are, God, and you will take everything that we are and make it all that you would have it to be. God, I pray this morning for Brother Greg as he comes to bring your word. God, I pray that you hide him behind the cross, God, so that everything that's done, everything that's said will be to give you honor and glory. God, we know that he doesn't want any of that for himself. So we pray that you are seen, that you are lifted up, that you are glorified in this place this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, and all these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. It's at an honor and a privilege to be able to be with you this morning, and hope that everybody that wasn't able to be here that normally is getting better quickly. I know as I've talked to Chris over the last week, it has sounded each day like he has gotten a little better and getting his strength back, and very, very, I know you guys are ready to be back in person and to have him here again, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and to share with you a little bit this morning. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over in them. We are going to be in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. We're going to kind of camp out there for just a few minutes this morning, and I want to talk to you a little bit about, I understand you guys have been talking quite a bit about discipleship, and want to kind of continue that theme. Talk a little bit about kind of Jesus stepping into the life of his disciples and how he got into their work and what he did with them and how that all began here in Luke 5. So let's go ahead and begin reading Luke chapter 5. We're going to start there in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they were beginning to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that had been taken. And also with them were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything. They laid it all down and they followed him. You know, it'd be really easy to jump in and try to preach a message here on reckless abandonment, how we are called to give up everything, and at the moment we're supposed to be able to recklessly abandon everything and to follow Christ, and that is a good message that could be derived from this passage. It would be easy to jump in and to try to teach one of a calling into full-time Christian service and to challenge people to do that, or as a Christian vocation to challenge people to do that. But that's not the hint I think that we want to, or the slant that I think we want to go to today. What I want to do is talk about how the fact that Jesus steps into Simon Peter's world, because Simon Peter has heard him a little bit before. Simon had been around him, and Luke had done a great job so far in the first four chapters of helping us understand what Jesus was and who he was and how he was the son of David, and that he declares the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was a great teacher, and he taught of wisdom, and he had wisdom that was only came from God. He had authority and power. But what Luke wants us to see here is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And this passage begins with him as wanting the disciples to understand that he wants them to make him Lord of their life, not just kind of hear about him, not just kind of know about him, but to make him Lord. In Wikipedia, a disciple is a follower, a student, or a mentor, or a teacher, or an otherwise figure. So that is someone who follows them, and not only just follows them, but they subject themselves to them, and they do something about what they're learning from this person. So what does a disciple do? Well, a disciple listens. A disciple listens to Jesus. Luke 4:43, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose, Jesus said. In other words, as we're going into chapter 5, Jesus is saying, I can't just stay right here in the synagogue. I've got to go to other places. I've got to go to other towns. God, my Father, has called me. I want to proclaim his word. I want to proclaim who I am in other places. And as he begins to do this, we see that a crowd gathers around him and presses in on him. And they can't understand or hear what's going on with Jesus because there's so many people that have gathered here. And I guess Jesus, you know, obviously being as much God as he is the Son here, he understands that sound waves bounce really well off of the water. And he calls them. He says, I'm going to get in a boat. He commandeers a boat, commandeers a captain. And he says, push out. And he begins to speak. He knows that they can hear him much better that way. I know as a teenager, I learned that the hard way. Every summer, during the summers, we would go water skiing quite a bit. And a guy named Buddy Curry would take us, a single man in the church, and he would take a lot of teenagers all the time. And we would go once or twice a week. And this particular Friday, it was a guy named Wesley Woods, a good friend of mine, and Buddy. Just the three of us in the boat. And we skied that morning and had a great time. And at lunchtime, we had this little routine. Buddy always wanted to pull over into a little cove or something, and he would pull over there, and we would stop, and we would eat our lunch together, and then he would get in the water so he could cool off, because Wes and I had been, you know, we'd been skiing all morning, and he would get in the water and float around, and Wesley and I were sitting in the boat. We were talking, and we noticed that there was another boat as we pulled in the cove, Wes and I, you know, being teenage boys, we began to get curious, and we began to notice that there was a young lady on the boat, and we began to kind of make comments to each other about the young lady, and Buddy said, hey, y'all better be quiet. And I said, Buddy, she can't hear us. And he said, I'm telling you, she can hear every single thing y'all are saying. And Wesley said, Buddy, she can't hear anything we're saying. And then we heard her say, oh, yes, I can. I just immediately rolled off the boat into the water, left Wesley up there by himself. I learned the hard way that water does amplify sound, and it carries it really well. And Jesus knew this, and he knew that in order for the people to be able to hear him, he was going to have to be at a place where he could try to get above them, or he's going to have to do something where he could be louder, and the best way to do that was to get out into the water and to allow that his voice, the sound, to amplify off of the water so they could hear him. As he pushed out and began to do that, he began to teach. We really don't know what he was teaching on. Doesn't really go into a lot of detail about that. What it does go into detail about is that what Jesus was doing was he was pushing out into the boat, but he was stepping over into Peter's life and into Peter's work. He wasn't just merely teaching the crowd. He was speaking at a completely captive audience, and Peter being right there in the boat with him. And so Simon was sitting there, and he was listening as Jesus taught. He had heard him do this before. We know this because John's book tells us that there were several disciples that were gathered together and heard Jesus speak several different times. Several of them were present at the baptism of John with Jesus in Cana of Galilee and in Judea. They were all there, and they heard him. They could hear what he was saying. They heard what he taught. But the problem is there wasn't a lot of listening going on to what he taught. You see, there's a difference, and my wife reminds me of that every now and then, that there's a difference in hearing and listening. Hearing means that you just allow your brain to bring the sound waves in and to process those, and you just understand what was said. Listening is doing all of that and then doing something about it or something with what you've heard. That just wasn't happening yet in Peter's life. The things were not connecting there. He was hearing it, but he just wasn't listening to what Jesus was saying. Wow, what a time to stop just a moment and think about our own lives and how many times we have heard a message or we have heard something said at a Bible study or in a Sunday school class. We've heard someone say something, and as we walked away, we thought, wow, that really impacted me, but yet we just didn't do anything with it. You know, we just didn't get to the point where we just listened to it. In Matthew, this is what is said about the people that listened, that heard this message. Jesus says this to these people because they're not listening. They're just hearing. He says this, and you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. In other words, they were not listening to what he was saying. They were hearing him. There's an accountability that's there when we hear God's word. There's an accountability there to listen and to put that into action and not just let those be words and not just let us remember that and just not let us memorize those things. You know, it's easy to hear things and just memorize them and spout them back out, but to do something with them is a lot more difficult. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be accountable. We're called to listen, not just hear, but a disciple listens to what Jesus says. What else does a disciple do? Well, a disciple trusts the word of God. He trusts what Jesus says. The person who makes the big turnaround in this passage is Peter. And perhaps he's the first disciple that did this. But by the way, it happened not at a large, I mean, it did happen there with a large gathering, but it wasn't because of that gathering. It wasn't because of a youth camp. It wasn't because of a mission trip. It was because Jesus was sitting right there and challenged him. And it was in obedience that he began to listen. In obedience, he began to listen. Listen to this. He said, when he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, put into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Wow, Peter had been up all night long. He had been fishing all night long. And he basically says this to him. He says, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, we will let the nets down. Almost a little bit of annoyance is there. Almost like, hey, okay, good, you're in the boat. That's great. I can understand you being in the boat. But let's be honest here. I'm a fisherman. I fish, and I know you're a carpenter. If I need help holding my hammer, that'd be great. But I fish. That's what I do. I fish. Jesus still was trying to get to the heart of what Peter was and get him to listen, not just hear, but to listen. And it was in obedience that he began to do this. He began to take the first step of discipleship by listening to what Jesus was saying. He didn't just continue with, yeah, but you know, we've tried this, we tried the nets over there. He just said, but at your word, we will let the nets down. And by the way, Luke, as he records this and writes this out, the word master is translated as boss or person in charge. And no other person, when using that word master, translated that way anywhere in the New Testament, except for this one instance. It was almost like he was saying that Peter was saying, okay, boss, if that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do. But at your word, and he was respectful, at your word, we'll let the nets down. You've probably seen this in your own life. You've probably seen examples of where you're something you do really well and someone comes in and begins to tell you how to do your job and they don't really do your job. I can remember being on a mission trip one time in Mexico and we were going to be building a house with teenagers, and I took four different men who were experienced in carpentry, and two of them were contractors and two of them were just kind of really great handymen. I thought, these guys will be great to have with us to help our teenagers. And we got there and we began to set everything up, and the foreman that was in charge of the project that week, we were going to build a house. We got there, it was just dirt, and that was it. We were leaving there. 4 days later, we were supposed to have a house. So I knew these four guys were going to have to be able to kind of get the teenagers to listen to do what they needed to. But the person that was in charge, her name was Sarah Birkbigler. And so as we began to clear the dirt, we began to get a place to pour the pad and to pour the concrete. These guys got out all these tools. They started pulling stuff out of their suitcase. They got all these high-tech stuff out there. And she was like, hey, I tell you what, can I just help you with something here? Because we've got to get this pad, we've got to get it poured, we got to get everything going, we got to start building walls tonight. And they were just like, well, you know, this is the best way to make it level and to make sure that the ground's what we need. Because, no, let me just tell you, we're going to use this string. She pulls this string, she does this little thing, and they were like, okay, we'll try it your way. She does that, we get it all done. Man, that thing happens quick. I mean, within a few hours, we had concrete that was drying already. And we moved on, and we began to build walls on the ground. And the next day, I can remember these two guys as, you know, they were thinking, they were contractors. You know, what's she going to tell us? We got all this high-tech gadgetry that we can use here. I remember those guys, though, specifically the next day as we got up and got ready to work on the project as we were moving forward with it. The first thing they did was say, hey, let's find pigtails and find out what it is that we've been doing wrong that we can do right now. Because she knew what she was talking about. She got them to listen. They didn't just hear her and just kind of ignore her and move on and do what they... No, they listened to her. And when they listened to her, everything changed. And that's the way it is with us. when we listen, not just hear, but when we listen, everything changes. Everything completely changes when we listen. But we've got to be able to trust. And Jesus was saying, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. Because Jesus wanted more than just his intelligence. He wanted more than just his remembrance. He wanted more than just his knowledge. He wanted his entire life. Jesus wanted Peter's entire life. And Peter submitted. But at your word, it was a submission to request that didn't make any sense. Simon learned right here, hey, things maybe aren't going to make sense. But whatever he asks, I'm going to do it. And he learned that as this was going on. And he said, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled the boats, both of them, so that they began to sink. These boats were about 20 feet long, and they would hold about a ton of fish, plus the three or four persons that were in the crew that were there. So this was a lot of fish. This wasn't just like a little net full. The nets were breaking. This was what would be known as the catch of a lifetime. This was the things that these guys would sit around at some point in the future and say, hey, you remember that time we were fishing and we hadn't caught anything, and Jesus said, let the nets down, and we all almost died because we almost sank because he did some kind of, I don't know what Jesus did. Maybe he did some sort of spiritual fish finder, or I don't know what he conjured up there, but there were so many fish that they couldn't even take them all. And that these were guys that, again, they knew what they were doing. They knew that they needed to fish all night long. This was during the middle of the day. And it was the hot part of the day. They knew that the fish would rise up towards the surface in the cooler water at night, and that's why they fished at night. That's why Peter pushed back a little bit at first. He was like, hey, we fished all night and didn't catch anything. And he almost said it, but he didn't. Hey, you know, it's too hot. We're not going to catch anything out here. But when he listened, everybody around him got the blessing because Peter listened. Did you catch that? Everybody else around him was blessed also because Peter was obedient, and he listened. He entered into discipleship, and he didn't just hear what he said. He listened to what he said, and it was the catch of a lifetime. You see, we can trust God even when we don't understand him. We can trust God even when we don't understand our circumstances, even when we question the outcome, even when we question the means or the way that God's asked us to do it. Wow, what incredible things you can look at all through the Old Testament and see where God took things that were so unconventional and he used them in a mighty and a powerful way. Things that would never work today, things that would not have worked back then, but it worked because the people listened to God. They didn't just hear him, they listened. Think about the walls of Jericho. Marching around a city and just blowing trumpets and yelling brings down walls? No, not normally. But when you listen to God, those kind of things happen. If that's what he's telling you, and you hear that, and you listen, every other person that around you, because you listened, they're blessed too, because you listened. We can look back and we see incredible things in Joseph's life. Even as Joseph was cast into a pit, and he was sold into slavery, and he was eventually made over everything, and he listen, as people listened to what he said, and as they listened to the fact that he was able to interpret a dream, they listened to those things. They didn't just hear what he said, they listened, they believed him. People were blessed because of that. It's because when God says something, he backs it up. He backs it up with truth. He backs it up with power when we listen, when we are entering into that discipleship. So a true disciple also trusts, completely trusts. Peter had to trust that something cool was going to happen, or else he would have groaned as he let the nets down. But when he began to pull that up and he couldn't get them up, man, his trust grew abundantly, immediately. Because as he trusted, as he was obedient, as he entered into that part of discipleship, God blessed him. And Jesus right there blessed him in ways he could not imagine. All because of this obedience. And he let the nets down because he said, at your word. In other words, whatever you say, that's what we're going to do. What else does a disciple do? As we're kind of working our way through this passage, a disciple is also penitent. Verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. Earlier, Peter called him master or boss. Now he's calling him Lord because he is listening. He is listening to what he's saying. Peter understands Jesus' sovereign lordship at this point. And he also understands, because of his sovereign lordship, he understands his sinful nature and he understands the sin that is in him. And he reacts the only way that he knows how. He falls down at the knees, right there at the feet of Jesus. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful, sinful man." We see this is very consistent through Scripture. We see that happened with Job. As Job saw God's glory over creation, he repented in dust and ashes. We see it with Isaiah. Isaiah even said in Isaiah 6:5, he said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me, for I am lost." You see, it is more than just saying, "Forgive me of this sin." It is saying, "Forgive me, Lord, of my sinful life. Forgive me of my wretched heart. Lord, offer your forgiveness to me for everything, every ounce of me, every part of me, not just that one act, not just that one little thing that I did." That's almost like being caught with something. We know Jesus sees it. We know the Lord sees it. We know we should ask for forgiveness for it. But the root of that is that all of us, we've got to listen and be obedient and follow through. And when we do, we will fall at the feet of Jesus, because we will see just how sinful we are and just how much we need the Lord and how much we want him to be our Lord. And when we do that, it is going to be the same way it was for Simon. Jesus said, because he could see in Simon, he said, "Do not be afraid." He put his heart at ease. And he said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Jesus pushed aside all the past. He pushed aside the fact that he had heard him teach and preach several times before. He pushed all that aside. He said, "You're obedient. And because you're obedient, now I'm going to step in and not just help you make a big catch like you did today, but we're going to tweak what you do. You're still going to be fishing, but now you're going to be fishing for men." If we look at what that word catching is, it says in verse 10, "From now on you will be catching men." The word catching in Greek is the word zogron. It's derived from two words that are put together, agru'u, which is to catch, and zoon, which means the word for life. And when you put those together, it is translated to catch alive. That's what Jesus was saying, is we're going to go and we're going to take dead people and we're going to catch them, and you are going to minister to them. They were going to catch them into life. You're going to be fisher of men. You're going to be catching men. Simon understands that his call to discipleship here is for him to be obedient. His call for discipleship here is for him to listen and not just hear. His call is to trust and to trust. The only way you're going to be able to trust is if you listen. Trusting is the step that happens after listening. Because when you begin to listen, when you begin to not just hear but to listen, you do begin to trust. And Peter and Simon here did trust that something was going to happen. "Hey, Jesus, if you say let the nets down, I'm going to let the nets down. Because you say do it, that's what I'm going to do." And man, as we begin to see later on in Luke, and as we begin to follow the disciples, we begin to follow the path that they're on, there are many, many, many more things that he tells them and asks them to do, and they jump to it because they've seen it. You and I should be the same way. We should jump to it because we've seen it. We've seen what God can do. We've seen what God does in our lives. God has come in. He has changed us. He has changed us from the inside out. Now he's calling us to be a disciple, not just to be a follower, not just to say that we know him as Savior, but to call him Lord and to call him our mentor, because we are listening to everything that he's saying. We've been called into discipleship. Not all of us are going to be called to sell everything we have and to raise our own support or to go on the mission field or to be a vocational minister. We are all called, though, to catch alive, to be fishers of men. We are called to be disciples, to listen to what Jesus tells us. Maybe today, as Jesus is stepping into Peter's life in the story, maybe he's stepping into your place of work. Maybe you're beginning to understand and realize that the paycheck you get, man, what if they were just paying you so that you could disciple others in your company? What if at break or at lunch or even at night, a different Bible study, or early before work, you took the opportunity to help disciple and to push others, not just so that they would hear, but teach them how to listen to Christ? God gives us all kinds of opportunities to do that. You know, it's not just serving in the nursery. It's not just serving on the praise team. It's not just serving in the parking lot or in the greeting team. Listen, don't hear me saying those are things we shouldn't do, because we should. Those are things that we do, though. Understand that those are all part of an act. That's an act of worship. That's an act of service that we should do so that others can come into a building and they can listen and they can listen. They can hear and listen and walk out differently because we've done those tasks so that they could. But that's not discipleship. Discipleship happens outside of this room. Discipleship happens outside of this campus. Discipleship happens in your home. It happens in your workplace. It happens on your ball team. It happens with your friends. That is discipleship. Not just service, but that is true, true discipleship. And we are called into that discipleship. So wrapping up, a disciple listens to Jesus. A disciple trusts the word of God. They trust what Jesus says. And a disciple is penitent. We can listen because we know we have a God who listens to us. He takes what we ask of him. And he takes our groanings, as we see even as the children of Israel were led out of captivity, and their groanings, God listened to them. It says that in Scripture. He listened and he remembered them. Whenever you see the phrase remember, God remembering people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's not that God didn't think about it and it dawned on him again and he just had a memory that came back to him. No, remembering means this. It means that now you better look out because there's going to be action behind what God promised them. He remembered those people. He remembers you. He remembers where you are. And he calls you to listen. And as you listen and as you go, know, just like in Peter's case here, others will be blessed because of your listening. That is discipleship. That is discipleship. When you're listening and others begin to hear what you're saying and what you're doing, and they begin to be challenged, and they begin to listen, not because you did it, but because Jesus did it in you. They begin to listen, and others are blessed too. It's all about discipleship. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we could come together and talk just for a few minutes this morning about what a disciple is and what a disciple does and how this whole process works itself out. Lord, as we listen, may we hear your still small voice, and may we respond as a disciple with action. May we take what you've challenged us with today and in the past, and what you're going to challenge us with in the message series to begin and to come in the future. May we take those things and may we listen and figure out a way for you to tweak those in our lives so that they become part of what we're doing every day. We can disciple others by doing that. Just as, Lord, we want to be challenged every day, just as you challenged Peter here. God, may we have the trust that we just listen and take the step. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.